The man, the myth, the legend. There's two huge Kings legends we've had on the same week, by the way. We had Gary Gerald on Monday, and now we have the legendary Jerry Reynolds, who probably doesn't like to be called legendary because it makes him sound old, and he's not. He's young at heart. Jerry, how are you?
I am young at heart.
You are.
And, I'm sad I didn't get a chance to coach or manage the Toledo Mud Hens.
Coach, I have a bone to pick with you.
Yes, sir.
Now, you know I'm a longtime listener. First-time caller to everything you do. And I was watching the broadcast last night, you in studio, with James Hamm, and they were going with keys to the game.
Yes.
And one of your keys to the game, I think you said something like you have to protect the basketball or limit. It was something like that. And you know, and if you don't, I'll remind you that I believe your greatest saying of all your great sayings is value the ball. And I feel like you've gotten away from value the ball over the last few years. You went to protect the pumpkin for a while, and I appreciated that. But what is going on there, and why did you go away from one of your greatest hits?
You know, that's a great point.
Thank you.
And I apologize because I have, you know, I've. It got so monotonous because it's been such a problem now.
I know you've been saying it a lot.
You know, so it had to become prize the pumpkin, love the leather, whatever. But it's all the same. Value the ball, of which, of course, we do not.
Yes,
we do not value the ball. We treat it with no respect, and that has led to some of our many, many issues.
You got to treat the ball like your mama.
What, never call it?
No, you got to respect it.
That's an excellent point there, Katie.
Thank you.
It depends on the mama, maybe.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, just so you know, and I think I've told you this long ago, and I know sometimes I drone on and you probably tune out, but there's a whole subculture for Value the Ball. There was a website at one point, a Kings Forum that was Value the Ball. There's a whole group of Value the Ball fan clubs. We used to have a drinking game back in the early 2000s when you really used Value the Ball, where we take a shot every time you said it. I'm sticking up for the little guy. I know you're original and you do your own thing, but I just wanted you to know and reiterate how much we value the ball as Kings fans.
Well, then, I mean, really, to deny people drinking opportunities, I'll definitely get back on board. I apologize profusely.
It helps a lot when you're, when the Kings are struggling the way they are, right?
No, absolutely. Yeah, if I could drink on the air, I'd probably do it.
Oh, Jerry Reynolds. And you know what? If you could drink on the air, maybe that would move our broadcast up to the number one ranked broadcast in the NBA.
Hold on, it's not.
We're
no,
the number
actually,
two.
Katie.
Did we shoot up?
Yeah, Sam told me last night that the final poll, I didn't realize this, on Hoops Hype, we became number one.
What a boy.
There you go.
Well, I want to congratulate Katie because this. They had her lovely face in the picture.
I don't think that has anything
Grant,
to do with
obviously,
it.
Grant and I aren't exactly pretty. And so I think that garnered maybe the votes necessary to move up to the number one spot. So
since I don't help with anything else on the broadcast, at least I can pretty the place up a little bit.
Well, we are all pawns in the Grant Napier game anyway.
Well, if you don't like that, you don't like Hoops Hype polls. And here we go. I'm trying to find it right now because I sent that out there. I know that you guys had been.
We were at number two when I saw it.
It was between you and the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, we were behind. Like, we were second for weeks, I don't know how that thing worked or anything, but so I hadn't really paid any attention. I know James Hamm mentioned it last night, and it's like, wow, really? We number one. That's nice. It's nice because it's a national poll. It's simply an opinion of voters. As opposed to, I think last year on an announcer.com thing, we finished third. But that wasn't that was basically writers and their opinions, which is fine. It'd be ranked that high. But I think just the fact it's fans vote. In my mind, always is more significant.
True or false, Jerry Reynolds, you print that out and you take it in when you sign your next contract and say, lifetime contract, please.
Well, I'd have to say, probably knowing our employers, they probably have never seen it.
Well, there you go. Print it out on the old inkjet and take it in.
I'm at the stage where I don't really care.
Like Jim Boeheim yesterday. I don't care. Screw it. Oh.
Well, how you follow that?
God Jerry bless Reynolds. Jerry Reynolds.
Yeah. With us on KHDK. Let's talk about something that's gone on the floor. In the last couple of weeks, obviously, the landscape of this roster has changed quite a bit. If I had come to you, say, 3 months ago and asked you, hey, man, in the middle of March, what is Scalabissiere going to be up to? What would your answer have been? And would it have been anywhere close to the contributions he's been able to make over the last couple of weeks?
You know, it really wouldn't have. I honestly just watched him a little bit in the D-League and what little I'd seen and practices, that and the other. You know, I mean, certainly looked like he was an NBA player. And that was kind of how I saw it. And now here we are, and answer your question. I think the guy's got real star potential. And, you know, that's what excites me because I know – you know, I don't know that he is yet. The time, you know, hopefully we'll see more and more. But I know in the NBA you don't win without stars. And if you're going to rebuild a team, you're going to have some stars. And I mean, just to think the draft is going to produce that is obviously there's no indicator that history proves that doesn't always work that way. That there's misses in there. And looks like to me, Scal is a real hit. I mean, just a spectacular athlete and skilled, and yeah, just hey, I'm thrilled to death that guy.
Gary Reynolds joining us on KHDK. As I turn my mic back on, asking a coach to second guess a coach is never a good road to go down, especially somebody as classy as you, but people besides you being the top broadcaster in the NBA also coached for quite a long time and coached this team. So I want to ask you stupid guy question and get experienced coach answer. Scalabissiere, 15 points, 15 minutes last night. And for me as a fan, all I want to do is see his development. When he got taken out of the game, I questioned it. I'd love to see him get more minutes, but I have tremendous respect for Dave Yeager and what he's trying to do. So can you help me? Why isn't Scal playing more minutes, and should he, in your opinion?
Well, answer your question. I'm really a fan of this coaching staff led by Coach Dave Yeager, and I think they will get everything right. Do I think they've got this right to date? No, I definitely think that right now this team is not going to be stepped back by playing Labissiere more minutes.
Yeah.
In my opinion, is you actually got to, you know, the coaching staff wants to win. I don't care about anything else. I can't help it. I like to win.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, the team isn't stepping back by playing him more. He is one of the very best players on his team now, and he's proven that. So in my mind is, and my feeling always was with rookies, make them prove it, make them earn their minutes. Mm-hmm. And I agree with Coach Yeager. He's done that. And but he has earned the minutes. He's earned more minutes. And I think Buddy, to a lesser degree, has done that as well. So you're not, you're not hurting the club. And some of the veterans have just got to suck it up. You know, I mean, at some point, whether any of the quality players that's ever played in this league, at some point they pass veterans by. That's the way it works.
Jerry, Nate made a good point the other day. He said,
really?
Yeah, I know.
Hey, hold on a second.
Let me say what it is, and then you can pick your job off the floor and answer the question. He said that, I didn't really look at it in this way. He barely played in college. And then he comes in and he plays in the D League. And then you just say he's someone right now in his rookie year that's really only seen playing time at the NBA level in the last 2 weeks. And you're confident in all your experience in the NBA of saying he's got real star potential. Is there a player that you see a really close correlation?
You know, there's a couple that I see a little bit of him in, and I mean, I always, you know, when you compare with other players, nobody's just exactly the same,
yeah.
As you know. But there's a little Chris Bosh there.
Mm.
I think a little Rashard Lewis. And that goes back a number of years. Guys old as Dave knows that.
Thank you.
But, I mean, you know, he's his own guy, but his... he's got a little bit of both those guys, and of course both those guys at some point made All-Star teams, and so you know, and I don't think I'm totally out of line saying it, because it's just an early comparison, and I'm comparing them at the same age, by the way, not where they were 6 years into their career, but I'm saying that as young players, I saw those players at 19 years old, and I would say there's a legit comparison there.
One that I keep hearing from a lot of fans, and I kind of tend to agree with it to a certain extent, is Dirk, because we've seen, and it's been so impressive, his not only his shooting ability, which he seems so confident in, but he's been able to hit some fall away kind of one-footed jumpers along the baseline. And it's like, oh my goodness, where's that coming from? And it is a little bit like Dirk.
It is, you know, he's got the unique shot, you know, where he really brings it back over his head, really tough to get to. And it's like with Dirk, the only way you're going to block Dirk's shot was get it from behind. You couldn't get it in, you know, normal positioning. And I think, you know, and of course fans forget too, when Dirk was young, he was very athletic. I mean,
it's hard to say that in year 19,
now,
huh?
and could really run the floor great. But so yeah, there's some similarities there. And you know, I think the one thing I would say that Scal, he certainly doesn't have all the in my mind, quite the footwork that Dirk had at that age. There's still a gap or two, but he's quicker to the ball. I mean, quick off his feet. You know, his left hand is offhand is better right now too, at the same stage.
Yeah.
So, yeah, geez, there's just so many positives there, and he seems like the thing I like. I mean, besides being young, I mean, you know, not just young. He doesn't shave even. I don't. I mean, this is somebody.
Still waiting for the hair to grow in.
you know, there's just so much potential there. And as you pointed out, I mean, he really didn't get to play much in college. And so he's just such a work in progress. And truly a late developer, which I think many of the greatest players in the history of the game have been late developers, guys who weren't the AAU All-Worlds when they're 16, 17 years old. You know, that sort of thing comes out of nowhere, like the Duncans, and actually Jordan did too, and Bird, Olajuwon, and a lot of the greats were, you know, guys that kind of clicked in late for him.
As we kind of tie this up here with Jerry Reynolds, you guys mentioned Dirk Nowitzki, 30,000 points for Dirk. He's one of six players all time to do that. What's your lasting memory of Dirk?
Well, to me, he really changed the power forward position. You know, I always say, you know, you look at great players and they leave their mark in some unusual ways. He's the first seven-footer that were really the stretch four kind of thing. Now, and of course, his unique step-away shot, as Katie mentioned, that's being copied now consistently. I always said go back like to the small, great small forward like a Bird. You know, he had the step-away shot that everybody does now. But you know, the first to do it. And it's like with Dirk with his little kickback over the head shot. Now we're seeing young players do it. So one of the all-time greats, no question about it. And, you know, it's fun to watch him get that 30,000.
From those days when he and Dr. James Naismith worked on the original basketball rules to 1991 when he was inducted, according to Wikipedia, into the University of West Georgia Hall of Fame. Is that right?
I did.
Yes.
Nice. Congratulations.
Really then, but, and yeah, I always remember working with. I called him Jamie. you know, he's just a kid then.
The absolute best in the business. Part the leader of the best broadcast team in all the land, according to Hoops Hype, and our dear friend Coach Jerry Reynolds. Coach, thank you as always for joining us.
Always a pleasure. Anytime.
All right. Thanks, Jerry.
Let's take care. I love him so much.
God. He's the best thing ever.
I don't even care. I don't care about slobbering all over me. He's just the best thing about him is he's exactly the same off the air.
Oh. Well, except for he swears more.
A little more colorful. We'll take a break. It's Sacramento's grandpa, Jerry Reynolds. When we come back, Matt Barrows will join us. We'll catch up on all things 49ers. Is Kirk Cousins coming to San Francisco? We'll ask that and more on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.